Welcome to Storybrooke.
Enjoy your stay.
Welcome to Once of All. I'm Jen, and tonight I'm joined by Kristen, Laura, and Brittany. Hey guys, what's going on?
Hey!
So it's frozen. We just finished watching the latest episode of Once Upon a Time, and let's start with our traditional thumbs up, thumbs down kind of rating. Kristen, you want to go first? What did you think?
Sure. I'm going to say thumbs sideways. I mean, it was okay, but there were some kind of just odd things, few things that didn't quite work for me. I'd say thumbs sideways. It was good, but not great. It's been better.
Okay, Laura?
I'm going to go with thumbs up despite wonky hair and irritating Anna, but I really kind of liked it. I think I liked it better than I liked last week. So, yeah, for me, it was definitely a thumbs up.
Okay, Brittany?
I'm going to go thumbs sideways. I just don't like Bo Peep, so it kind of, like, put a damper on every other good
like
thing that happened.
The Warlord Bo Peep? Come on.
Oh, God. And then when she's, like, chopping up stuff, ugh.
Yeah. I'm going to give it a thumbs up, even though I felt the pacing was a little bit off in places. It felt kind of slow tonight, but I liked what they were trying to give us. So I'm going to go with a thumbs up for those reasons. And, of course, as always, we're going to get into some quotes. So, Laura, there was no Robin Hood tonight, so I have no idea what you're going to choose. I feel like it might be lacking, but this is a challenge, so give us a quote.
Oh, there were so many. And there were so many scenes that I really, really enjoyed very much and laughed out loud on. But the one that I really loved was Grumpy, because it was just so what I would have said. And he goes, "You think I'm grumpy now? You don't want to see me in the morning without my coffee maker." And I just, that totally cracked me up. And just everybody having a meltdown at about the lack of electricity. That was like the funniest scene ever. I could have just quoted that whole scene. I was just laughing out loud the whole time.
All right. Brittany, do you have a quote?
I do have a quote.
All right, give it to us.
It was when Emma goes to see Henry, and she's like, you know, we could call it Operation Nightshade or Operation Blackthor. Like, she was just trying so hard to cheer him up. I really liked that. My original quote, I can't find the exact quote of, but it was when, you know, our long-haired buddy there tried to say something to the effect of, like, ice shavings or something with Kristoff. But I did like that little moment between Emma and Henry, and she's trying to make up all these code names. I thought that was cute.
Yeah, it was very, like, retrospective as, like, when Henry used to be like, no, come on, and he'd give everything names, so I like that as well. Kristen, you want to go ahead?
Yeah, as I would have quoted her entire little, like, speech, but when Snow was with Grumpy and the other dwarf and Granny in the electrical place, whatever you call that, substation or whatever, I would have quoted her entire speech, but the last line is the best part, when she says, "You've survived your entire lives without light bulbs. Buy a flashlight." And she just, I love her. I love her so much. It was great.
That was pretty funny, because, again, all I could think of as they're complaining about not having electric, and I'm like, you've become so spoiled, all of you. You lived in the woods.
Yeah, so, I know, yeah. And, like, when the other dwarf is just, like, shouting out letters, like, DVR, DVDs, DCD, she's just like, stop shouting letters. Like, it's so great. It's so, so great. I just loved it.
Yeah.
The whole time, I just kept thinking, oh, my gosh, you're about to antagonize a nursing mother. This is going to end so badly. Like, you could just see the hormones going. I'm like, oh, this is not going to be pretty.
Yeah. Basically.
Such a good time. So my quote was from David, and this is after they show up at where Elsa's made her ice wall, and Emma and Hook kind of have a moment, and Hook calls that their second date, because, well, if he doesn't count the times when they're in crisis as dates, he's never going to get one. Poor Hook. And so David strolls up to Hook and is like, I think it's time you and I had a little talk about your intentions with my daughter. And every time David says something like this, I find it extremely funny, because Emma's a full-grown adult. Like, And she's almost the same age technically as David, so it just amuses me to no end that he feels like he can step in there and be like, Dad. Like, I don't know. I find it endlessly amusing.
Yeah, it's pretty hilarious.
And then Hook had some comeback to that statement, and I thought it was really funny, too, but I didn't write the whole thing out because we'd have been here all night just quoting Hook and David. So, look, I basically broke it up into two places. I broke our discussion up to Storybook discussion and to Enchanted Forest discussion because they're two very distinct things happening there. So why don't we start with in the Enchanted Forest, which is where we see Anna finally arriving, interestingly enough, Anna shows up and knocks on David's door. Were you guys surprised by that? I know, Brittany, you do the news, so you probably weren't surprised, but I don't ever read the spoilery stuff, so I was surprised by it.
I knew that they had a connection, but I liked that they switched it up. Like, it wasn't Anna. I mean, it was still the connection between Anna and him, but there was something, some other element to it, which was kind of cool.
Yeah, I like the friend of the friend thing, because I feel like at a certain point, not everybody can know everybody else. And I did like how he said, well, the only person I know in Arendelle is Kristoff. So I do like that it was the whole friend of a friend thing, not that they all know everybody intimately. I thought that was pretty cool.
Well, I think it's hysterical that David knows Kristoff. I'm sorry. Prince Charming knows Kristoff, the ice guy of Arendelle. Like, how does he know him? Come on.
They hunted yaks
together. I don't know, but
together.
I love it. I don't know, but I love
it. I love it.
Kristoff, and I'm so excited to see him and Dave, like, bro out. Like, that would be amazing.
Yeah, but Hook's going to be sad. What's going to happen? Yeah, that's his, like, bro space.
I don't know. They hunted, like, yaks or yetis together or something. I don't know. I would kind of maybe ice fishing.
Yaks or yetis.
I don't know. Ice fishing. I don't know. I know nothing about Frozen, so I'm grasping at straws here. I don't know.
I don't know. I thought that was really funny when she's trying to be like, I'm Joan. He's like, no, you're not. And he's like, you're Kristoff's fiance. No, I'm not. He's like, you're wearing the ring. She's like, oh, yes, I am. Like, it was cute. I liked that part. And then we get the psychotic Bo Peep. What was that business? Anyone? Bo Peep.
I thought it was hilarious. I just thought she was hilarious. You know what she reminded me a little bit of? Is if anybody's a Firefly fan, Mark Shepard in Firefly, how he's the character with the Cockney accent, and he's, like, the real tough dude. Like, it was just, like, little Bo Peep gone Cockney badass. Like, it kind of reminded me a little bit of that.
A little bit, yeah. What did you guys think, Kristen and Brittany? Did you like Bo Peep, or were you like, meh?
I basically just found her hysterical. Like, it's Bo Peep. Like, come on. Like, I couldn't take it seriously. Like, I just was like, of all the names, like, of all the characters you could have made, like, an evil warlord, you chose Bo Peep. Okay. Sure, let's keep going. Yeah, I just thought it was kind of funny.
But I swear to you, I bet you she turns people into sheep. Like, you know, so she's got this magical staff, and I just kept wondering, does she turn people into sheep? Because how else does she make them slaves? Like, I feel, and she was in the butcher shop later. I'm like, I'm betting she turns people into animals. That's my feeling.
When David was looking for Anna and he used the staff and he like pointed it toward the barn, I thought she was going to be a sheep in that front pen.
Yes.
Like,
yeah, I did
that's
too.
That's what I thought had happened. And I was like, oh my goodness, this is going to be bad. And then he walks in and she jumps on him. And I'm like, oh, okay, never mind. But yeah, I thought the same thing.
But I still felt like, you know what, maybe she just hadn't quite gotten around to turning her into the sheep yet. Like I really feel like she turns people into sheep. And I've got, like, a crack theory as to why that's true later. And I wonder if maybe the people that she turned into sheep are now the little mobile sheep hanging over the baby's crib. So that's my crack theory. Anna is a wooden sheep hanging over baby Neil's crib.
Wow.
I did see the mobile. I saw the mobile, too, because as soon as it, like, flipped backward, I was like, oh, okay, they're doing that a lot this season, like the troll statue with the trolls last week. Like, they keep tying it to an item that's in Storybook, and I'm like, that's kind of weird. So, yeah, I can see it.
Yeah, total crack theory, obviously, like, to be proven wrong, but I
Well,
I
here's
like...
my thing, though, because clearly Rumple got Anna's necklace, and he knew Anna was coming to see him.
Right.
So what did Rumple do with her, really, is where kind of where I'm at, but I don't know. I don't, so we'll get to that part, I guess, in a second. But let's talk a little bit about Anna and David, because Anna meets David at a time before he is even close to becoming Prince Charming. He is more like, I'm just a shepherd. I am peaceful. I will not fight. I will let her boss me around. So were you guys a little bit surprised by that David? Because I'm not really sure we've seen that David before.
It was different because I feel like it was David. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but that's David before we've ever seen David timeline before, right? This is David before David knows who he is.
That's the earliest David I think we've ever seen.
Yeah. I enjoyed it. It was not what I expected initially from David, but I genuinely enjoyed that portrayal. I thought that was cool, actually.
Well, this points out the one thing that's been bugging me since last week and this whole thing started, is that with the timelines, the way they're playing them, I understand that Elsa probably wouldn't have aged in that bottle, but I can't imagine that Kristoff and Anna didn't age at all in 28 years. Because, like, from when we saw them in Arendelle, like, David is David without knowing who he is. And as far as we know, Arendelle was not part of the curse. Like, I don't think they were frozen in time or sent anywhere. So wouldn't they have aged?
Possibly.
See what I mean? Like, it's just strange. Like,
welcome to Once Upon a Time, where nothing really makes sense, but you love it anyway.
I know, and I know that they're not gonna have aged. It's gonna be the same actors. They're just gonna show up, and I'm just gonna have to accept it. But if they do have some reason as to why they look the same, I will be extremely happy. That's all.
The only person who's not affected at all by any aging anywhere is Henry, because his voice and his, like, features. He is going through puberty whether there's a time freeze or not.
Seriously.
It is true and hysterical all at the same time.
Like, seriously, like, we need to have, like, Henry gets a girlfriend. Like, I'm just waiting for Henry's first kiss to be part of this show. Like, you just feel like it's going there.
Oh, poor Henry. So, I really enjoyed the fact that Anna is the one that taught David had a sword fight. Like, there's something really amusing about that to me. I guess because if you think about Anna in Frozen in the movie and stuff, that you don't really get that portrayal of her, but you can kind of see it, how she would want to protect herself. So, I don't know. I thought it was really cool. What did you guys think about that part?
Especially if she was bored in the castle. I could totally see Anna saying, teach me how to sword fight. Like, going to a guard and being like, teach me how.
Yeah,
like,
that made a lot of sense.
Yeah, and see, for me, who is, like I said, one of five people on the planet who has not seen Frozen, I just took it at face value. I was like, oh, okay, yeah, when she was in her castle, somebody taught her. Like, it didn't jar me at all. I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah, well, it's not really jarring. I just found it really entertaining, because in the movie, like, this Anna in the TV show plays Anna very much like she was in the movie. Like, I feel it's a very consistent portrayal of character, and so it's just really funny to think about how she's kind of all over the place, and then she's like, oh, but, you know, I get a sword fight, and she's good at it. So there's something really entertaining about that. So, I don't know. Could just be me. What did you guys think about the story that David tells about his father and how his father died? Is this something we knew before? I don't feel like it was.
It didn't. If it was, it was not something that particularly stood out with me.
Yeah, me either.
But it feels really kind of relevant and important somehow. I'm not really sure how, but I feel like that story had a purpose.
Well, I think it's going to bring, like, who is it? Hook and him closer together, maybe. I don't know why. I just want them to be best friends, and I feel like they can relate over their fathers.
Maybe. I don't know. I just, there felt like there was something to that story. Like, was it an accident? Did someone kill David's father? Do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like there's a conspiracy there somewhere that we're missing. Because why would... Do you know what I mean? Like, there's something there. Like, it's easy to say, yes, he was a drunk, and, you know, on his 14th day, he couldn't handle it. But he seemed pretty determined. So, and there's no proof that he, you know, the cart was just over the side of the cliff. There's no proof that he was... that went over the side of the cliff because he was drinking. It just seemed like an odd story to tell if it didn't have a purpose later on. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's yeah.
Okay,
me,
crack theory number two.
Go, go, go.
David's father is Yensid.
Ooh.
I don't know how he'd be dead, but it just popped in my head and I threw it out there. Because there's so many characters we know where they are, so anytime we get a new, like, it's his father. It's his nameless father. We don't know who he is. So it's like, okay, he's got to be someone.
Yeah, and all they said is that it's someone that we've never met, and we technically never met him.
Exactly.
Right. So he's not really dead, but he couldn't be there to help David, so he staged his own death and then went off to be his crazy wizard self.
And it would explain a little bit how Emma got magic.
Ooh, yeah, it would.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh, see? I like it. It's got potential. Yeah, all right. So, here's the other thing that I was confused about with Bo Peep, with her little staff. What is it? Is it magic? Like, how does it brand people? Like, what's that all about?
I think it's just for, I guess because shepherds have staves and, I don't know what they really do with them, but they always seem to have them, and they herd it, so that was just the symbol for herding, I guess, so she can brand them and always know where her flock is.
Yeah, that's what I thought. It was it kind of marks them as one of her flocks, so she can always know where they are and find them to get what she wants out of them.
Yeah, but is she magical, or is just the staff magical?
I don't know.
I felt like it was the staff. I felt because here's the thing, if she was magical, David couldn't have overpowered her. Like, if she was magical, why did she even bother picking up the sword? She'd just fling him. So I felt like she possessed a magic object.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure I was clear on that, because I was like, it could go either way, but I feel like she would have fought a little bit more if she was actually magical. And then we have David fights, he finally sucks it up, becomes, the man we know he's going to become as Prince Charming, and it's his first kind of time to fight. And at the end, Anna is talking to Ruth, and she asks her about who they could go see about magic, and who would know about all the magics. And Ruth won't say the name out loud, but she writes it on the paper, and she writes down Rumpelstiltskin's name. Now, we see Creepy Rumpel in his goldy makeup holding a ball, and he sees Anna coming for him, or to him, if you will. So, clearly Rumpel was probably the last one to see Anna. I think that's a safe bet.
Yeah, I'd buy that.
Considering he's got the necklace and stuff. So
yeah, or she would have traded information, or he would have sent her to someone else, but I would agree with you. That does seem to make sense. Certainly he was heavily involved.
So do you guys think that Rumpel did something to Anna, or did something happen after she left Rumpel?
I feel like she might have heard from Rumpel about the other Snow Queen.
Oh, I like that.
So the other Snow Queen may have her.
And then Rumpel was the last person besides Elizabeth Mitchell to know where she is.
Right. I like that. I feel like Rumpel trades. Like, at the end of the day, he trades in information, and you owe him a favor for getting... Or he trades in what you want, and often what you want is some sort of information. So I feel like Anna probably went to him to get some sort of information about Elsa, and Rumpel was like, okay, so here's where you can get that information, and maybe did send her to the Snow Queen. And I feel like maybe the price, because he always has his price, I wonder if maybe the price was giving up that object that she loved so much.
It's because Elsa made that object, too. It was magic.
Oh, okay.
So Elsa made it. So I'm wondering if that's how he ended up with it, and maybe it was the Snow Queen.
Yeah, because I feel like I feel like he probably has it because that was part of the price that she had to pay for him to get what she wanted. So I feel like he personally didn't do something to her, but he might know where he sent her after she encountered him.
Yeah, yes. And I think he'll be the first to recognize who Elizabeth Mitchell is. Because she doesn't have a storybook name yet, so I'm just going to keep calling her Elizabeth Mitchell.
Right.
That also makes me wonder when the necklace got damaged. Because it's not whole. So did that happen before Rumpel? Is that a cause? Did that happen you know, right. Did Rumple do that? Like, what happened to the necklace, too? So.
Oh, so many questions.
Well, because I don't know how much to say, but the pictures of the Snow Queen in Storybrooke that just came out, she's wearing the necklace, a necklace. And it looks very similar.
Well, and the necklace that they have, is it just me or does it look melted? Like, it doesn't look broken. It looks, like, partially melted, right?
Yeah, or, looks, like, burned.
Yeah.
It's darker on the one side, yeah.
Right, so I think that's kind of interesting, too. It doesn't just plain look like chipped. It looks like it melted, which has to be important.
Yes. So, I don't know. All right, so let's talk a little bit about what happened in Storybrooke, because this is where most of the action was. We have Elsa, who decides she's not letting anyone leave until she sees Anna. So she puts up an ice barrier around the town, which knocks out the power, which sends Grumpy, Granny, and the other dwarf to Snow in a panic, because, oh my god, what are they going to do without the power? Which, again, still cracks me up.
That scene, I love that scene. That's like, it's, you know, there are people making GIFs right now of that scene.
Well, it just makes me laugh because I'm like, you've lived by lantern light for how long? And you're fretting over not being able to get on the internet. I love it.
Well, listen, right. Once you're spoiled, you can't go back.
I know. Right. I can't really say much. I get that way with the internet too, but it's fine. So let's talk a little bit about Regina. We didn't really see Regina until the very end of the episode. But, okay, how cute was Henry making a basket for her with wine and chocolate and all the things a girl needs for a breakup?
It was so cute, and he Googled it.
Adorable. I love that moment. I thought that was super sweet.
Well, and initially I was like, is our little Henry going on a date? Like, what is he doing?
Laura's clearly obsessed with the date factor. It's going to be okay. Yeah.
But I just feel like we totally have teenage Henry here, and we are, you know, despite, like, you know, other things that happened, I feel like he is getting a little bit beyond, like, Operation Whatever with a really cool name. Like, I feel like he would still go to stakeouts with Emma, but he's a little bit beyond sort of the kid aspect of it, and I feel like he is kind of growing up. He still needs his moms, but he's growing up.
Like, he's going to start hanging with Hook, and when you hang with Hook, the girl factor's going to creep in. Like, it's not just going to disappear.
Like, totally. I completely agree with you.
It's a bad influence. Oh, man. So, and then, speaking of Hook, we have Emma and David go to the ice wall to figure out what the heck's going on, and as they're looking around, Emma and Hook have a moment where it's the date comment, and Emma's still kind of brushing him off. Like, I don't know what her deal is, but Emma kind of walks away, and then David is like, we need to talk. And he puts on his fatherly advice role, and, like, Hook kind of throws it back at him, is like, seriously? And David's like, I remember what you used to be like. And I'm like, how did he know Hook that well before? Like, how did he know Hook was a womanizer? If he was a womanizer, because really he was a one girl kind of guy when he was with Neil's mom, which is kind of weird when you think about it.
Yeah, it's so weird when you actually like.
Anyway, we're not going to think about it because then we get caught up and it's that's a tangled web. So you know, there's a couple things going on there, and then we have Emma finally meets Elsa, which was kind of a nice moment. You know, Elsa stayed a little calm, and it wasn't until David and Hook come around, one with a hook on his hand and the other with a gun, you know, scaring her, and the snow wall comes stumbling down and Emma gets trapped inside with Elsa. So what did you guys think about Elsa in this episode? She was very open with Emma in a lot of ways. So how did you feel about her this episode as compared to, like, well, not that we saw her much last, but last episode?
I wasn't a fan of her this episode at all, and it really bugged me because I want to like her, but like I was saying last week, she was so flat last week, but that's because we didn't really get to see her interact with anyone. But then this week, when she was actually talking to Emma, I just was like, I didn't warm up to her until she was trying to, like, keep Emma awake and not fall asleep. But before that, she just annoyed me with her evilness. She just seemed so un-Elsa-like.
Yeah, her trying to be, pun intended, cold and, like, threatening, and that didn't work for me either, because you could tell, I mean, they do a really great job in the movie of showing that that's not her intention, so it seemed kind of disingenuous here for her to be like, I'm going to trap you all, and I'm going to, you know, I don't care what happens to her, and blah, blah, blah. Like, it was, you could tell she didn't mean it. And so as the episode wore on, I felt a little better about Elsa, because she's, you know, she's not out to hurt people. She just wants her sister back. And so now that she's a part of the team and not lording her powers over them, it seemed a little better for me.
And interesting enough, only again, because, like, I don't know Frozen. Like, I really liked it. I was good with it. But I guess not having that previous storyline to latch onto, I'm just kind of rolling with it as long as the pace is good, pretty much. I will say I definitely liked her better than I liked her last week. Last week I was like, yeah. This week I liked her.
I do also have to say, I like that they're not just, like, we at the end of the movie, we're going back to the movie again, she learned how to control her power, and I like that she kind of attests that, like, she assimilates it with Anna, that she needs Anna to do it. She can't just do it on her own, because it would be, I think, a little too easy for her to just be able to control it all the time. So I kind of liked that it wasn't like, oh, I forgot how to control it. It's more, I need Anna to remind me. Like, I need her here so that I remember how to control it, kind of thing.
Yeah, I think that was really good, too. I didn't mind her so much this week. I think, again, there are times when you're just like, I don't know, she's almost a little boring. And I don't know if that's how they're going to play her the entire time, or if they're going to give her a little bit more spirit now that she has people that she can speak to and, like, talk to. And that was the other thing. She didn't try to talk to anybody in town. She went straight for the ice wall, which I thought was a little odd, but that could just be me. So yeah, I guess we'll see what happens as she moves forward now that she's with people who care. And, you know, it's really interesting that the family said that no matter what, they don't back down. I was waiting for the I will find you line from David. Because, mm-hmm. And then last week, Elsa said it about Anna. She's like, I will find you. And I was like, oh no, here we go.
Yeah, me too.
So, and because when David was giving the whole speech about being a family and being, and always being together and all of that stuff, I was like, he's like, we always stick together or whatever it was. I'm like, you were going to say we always find each other. Go ahead, admit it. Going to say it.
I was totally there, too. I was like, oh, my God, they're going to do it again.
Yeah, yes. I was waiting for it, but it didn't happen.
It's coming. Yeah.
So I did like the talk that Emma and Elsa had about magic. And, again, I'm still baffled that Emma couldn't even, like, spark magic at all. Like, I
did kind of like the explanation, though. Like, I felt like her hands were frozen. So yeah. I did sort of like that concept that she was, like, it was a physical problem because she was so physically cold and clearly in quite dire straits. That's why she couldn't do it. And I always feel like Emma's magic is, like, warmer, if that makes sense. So I yeah. felt like that did conceptually make sense for me.
Yeah, I was like, I'm a little frustrated by her never being able to use it. I'm like, yeah, you gave it to her. Could we let her use it just a little bit, please?
Right.
Well, I also kind of think she has a savior complex where she likes to save other people and not so much herself. So I kind of bought that she couldn't summon it just to save her own life. See, you know what I mean?
No, I get it. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's frustrating after a while. So then we get to the moment where David realizes that he knows Anna, which I thought was kind of interesting. And I was trying to see if there was a look that crossed Rumpel's face, but I didn't really see one.
I wrote about it only because it bothered me.
What, like, did you get? Give it to me.
So as soon as Belle shows him a card, it, like, sort of pans Rumpel, and he's, like, dead-faced. So I'm like, they wouldn't just pan his face for no reason. Like, he mm-hmm. knows something.
He does. Right. Oh, Rumpel, always getting in trouble.
He, like, looks at it, and he's like, ah.
Oh, busted.
Like, internally.
No. Not another one. So then Emma and Elsa come out, and they're back at Snow and Charming's, and everyone's all together. You have the two couples, Emma and Hook, and David and Snow, and Henry's kind of chilling, and baby Neil, and then Elsa, who looks into Peep's staff. And when they look into Peep's staff, they can't see Anna, they can't do, there's nothing at first, which is a little weird. And then all of a sudden you hear a heartbeat. So even though she can't be seen, the heartbeat leads you to believe that she's still alive. What?
Right. She's a sheep. Because yeah. She's a sheep over the baby's crib. It is the beating heart of a wooden sheep. I'm telling you, that's what it is.
I don't know. That's weird. I don't know what it could be. But it's interesting. So it'll be interesting. I guess the mystery for the first half of this season will be, where is Anna and how do we find her?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think she's going to be like a lamb chop off in, like, Bo Peep's butcher shop.
I mean, not with a heartbeat, I hope, because that would be odd.
Yeah, because that would be sort of tragic, you know. But yeah, I'm still voting wooden sheep.
Yeah, so I mean, it'll be interesting to see where she is and what. It'll be interesting to see if Kristoff comes back and works with Elsa, or where he is. Like, what's his deal?
Right.
Yeah, that's what I want to know.
Somewhere looking for her.
I know. I feel a little bad for Kristoff and Sven. I feel like they're left out.
We don't really know how Elsa got in the jar either. And so Kristoff could be in a jar too. I mean, for as far as much as we know, we have no idea where he is.
True. But he's not magic, so I would I don't know why they would put him in a jar, the poor guy.
I hope not. And Sven. As long as they're together, that's really what matters.
Oh, my goodness. And then at the very end, we see Elizabeth Mitchell in the ice cream shop.
Who's
saying,
Juliet from Lost, in case anybody's, like, missing it.
Yeah, but, and saying that, you know, she didn't lose any of her ice cream supply with the power outage because, well, she can freeze that business all on her own.
Oh, and then, like, so unsanitary, just, like, sticks her finger right in it. Like, come on, man.
Oh, Brittany. That's the best. Yeah, so we now have the Snow Queen kind of in Storybrooke. And she looks to be wreaking some havoc, because when Elsa goes to try and take down the ice wall around Storybrooke, she can't. And the reason she can't is because the Snow Queen is holding it in place, and I think the Snow Queen is a wee bit stronger.
Right.
Random question. Do we think that they're related? Like, I'm wondering if maybe
they look very much alike.
Yeah, like, I'm wondering if maybe she's an aunt or someone...
I could go with that.
Somehow related to the family.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, evil, yeah. Evil aunt related to mother or father, or, like, again, not knowing the whole Frozen canon, that would seem to make sense to me.
Yeah, and her mother had red hair. Like, Anna and her mom seemed to have the same color hair, so it would kind of fit if she got it down the family line.
Right. The thing is, if she had to be in the Enchanted Forest in order to be in Storybrooke, right?
True.
So maybe that's who they were going to see on their voyage.
Mm. That could work.
Because they knew. They're saying that hers is real magic and not a curse, right? That's the deal with Elsa?
That's what I thought.
So maybe that's what they wrote down on the sheet of paper.
Yes, to find your aunt.
Like, your aunt is in...
Or whatever.
The Enchanted Forest, like, you know, you're not the only one in the family with power, or something like that.
Yeah. Could be. So, that's kind of where we leave off. And next week's episode looks to be rather interesting, because it looks like the Snow Queen's going to go have a field day and start making people into popsicles to make it look like Elsa's doing it, because she's so kind.
Right. Right. But I'm like, so I'm curious. Like, I'm good with that. Like, I understand that, but I'm not sure... Like, why didn't she act up earlier? I mean, obviously that's part of the plot here and everything, but I'm just sort of wondering why she didn't do whatever her evil, villainous plan was earlier than now.
Because now she has someone else who can take the fall for her.
Oh, that's true. Okay.
Yeah, maybe she knew that Elsa was there. So she was like, oh, hey, here we go.
Giant snow monster.
I was like, the giant snow monster is kind of a dead giveaway. I'm just going to throw it out there. You know? Yeah. Not usually Regina's style, so
yeah.
So I don't know. So I'm hoping for a lot out of next week's episode, because I like
hoping
Elizabeth
for more
Mitchell.
Regina, because come on, man.
I know. Was it me, or did that look like Maid Marian that was a popsicle?
It was.
Yes.
Okay. Just checking.
I think that's why they're going to pin it on maybe Elsa or like Regina, because of all the people, they're going to pick her. And right. That makes sense because all the villains that come in know the weakest part of the town, apparently. And obviously. Who to turn on. Like when Zelina showed up, they were like, oh, Regina's going evil again.
Right. Oh, no, poor Regina,
I'm
man.
I'm totally good with, like, you know, we could get rid of Marion this way. That would be fine.
Oh my god. Okay. If you guys only knew the amount of, how can I not have Marion? That we heard for like a year. And now she's like, offer, be done with it. Oh my goodness.
Oh, I'm sad. I'm a sad little outlaw queen shipper. What can I say?
I know. I still hold out hope that there's someone truly for Regina that isn't Robin, but this way we don't have to worry about Marion. Anyway, so does anyone have anything else for this episode?
No.
No? Nope. All right, so next week, we'll see the Snow Queen and have a lovely chat about her and see what happens there. And, of course, you guys can always leave comments on any of the posts and on the podcast post. And we will see you guys again next week. So, until next time, I'm Jen.
I'm Laura.
I'm Kristen.
Bye, guys.